Well, hey, everyone. We are here for this week's culture segment. And as always, we like to bring in experts for this segment of the show where we can kind of pick their brains on stuff that they know that we might be ignorant of. And let's just be honest, that happens pretty often around here. So this week, we're very pleased to welcome back Gary Thomas. Hey, Gary.
Hi. When you said experts, I'm looking at these empty seats saying, when are they getting here?
No, it's you. You've got to fill. You have to fill this spot. So, you know, you have to be ready for it. Well, you all know Gary, I mean, not only for the Sacred Marriage, but of course now he did the Sacred Search and is keeping it real for us single people. And so many other projects that you have worked on. I mean, oh my word, you're just writing, but you're also, you know, speaking all the time. And so we're very privileged to have you pause here in our studios for a little bit to address, this is going to be something fun. We have not really done this before. We're actually going to do a little Q&A with Gary. So we're taking some of your questions, and we're actually going to combine, as I said on the front end of the show when I introduced, we're combining our culture and inbox sections. So we'll take a little more time because, hello, we're just answering questions. So this is what we're doing. So you're going to see that, and we will have a lot of fun with this. And there are varied questions here, so this is going to be exciting. And Gary already told me that if I disagree with him, I can just basically cut. We're just going to edit him out and just say what I want to say. Okay, so that's pretty much our MO for what we're going to do. No, I'm just kidding. But he invited me to disagree with him, so I'm ready for it if I do. So I'm just saying. But we'll see, because I think he's going to have a lot of wisdom here. So Gary, are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to talk to some of these singles about their questions. Okay, this one I'm going to start with because I think it's even though it's a serious question, it's kind of like a... It's just hilarious. This makes me realize that you always think you've answered every question until you get another one. Okay. So this girl, and I'm going to summarize this one a little bit because it's a little lengthy. She says she decided to try online dating and it's had its ups and downs. And then I finally met a guy who's really kind and fun. And she says, but some of the things that he says make me raise an eyebrow. For example, a hobby of his is going on really intense camping trips where he can employ survival skills. And she describes this as to the point where he eats grubs raw, catches and eats snakes, or sleeps in freezing conditions with only a fire in the clothes he hiked out with. I understand that these things make him feel manly, and I can definitely admire the fortitude they take, but they really disturb me. Should we get serious? I would want him to stop. Am I just being picky, or is this something worth considering before continuing to talk about dating?
When you sent me that question, here's what I thought. You are who you are. He is who he is. And the two of you just don't match very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't a matter of biblical right or wrong. It's just a matter of, are you a good fit? And asking him to do something that he obviously takes great joy in, gets great meaning from, mm-hmm. say, now that you're with me, you have to stop doing that. It's going to create either frustration or resentment on his part, or frustration and resentment on your part, whether or not he keeps doing it and to what degree. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's fair, for instance, if a guy is really into serious mountain climbing, mm-hmm. like with all the equipment, the kind that is very dangerous, and a girlfriend says, I want to marry you, but when we have kids, I don't want to have to raise the kids on my own. I want you to give that up as part of being a dad or mom if it's reversed. I think that's a legitimate conversation to have, but this is just, I think it just may be they're not that great of a match.
Okay, but I fear that he might die from eating snakes. Like, that is not okay. I'm just like, I can understand that people eat grubs or whatever and they sleep in freezing conditions, but yeah, the snake thing, what is that about? I mean, I'm kind of like, whoa. So anyway, I mean, I'm kind of saying that in jest, but I think that is true. I think there is, you know, there are definite hills to die on, but at the same time, you know, yeah, maybe this might not be the best fit. And I wonder if, I mean, has she had this conversation with him to say, you know, she's put it out there and he's like, well, absolutely not. I will absolutely do this and do it every weekend. And, you know, then that might be a little selfishness on his part, too. I mean, I don't know.
Well, my past perspective has been that guys that do that take a little bit of pride in that. And the women who do it take a little bit of pride in it. Mm-hmm. She almost disrespectfully looks at it like, how mm-hmm. crazy do you have to be to want to do that? And respect mm-hmm. is a big issue in relationships. And I would say this to singles. If you don't respect the person that you're thinking about marrying, then don't marry them. Mm-hmm. The lack of respect, either men for women or women for men, mm-hmm. is like a relational cancer that eats away at the bones and the organs and the health of the whole system. So mm-hmm. because I think respect is such a big thing, I think this is a dangerous email.
Okay. All right, here's another one. This guy says he's 19 and is interested in pursuing a relationship with a young lady at his church. I asked her brother if he thinks she likes me. I have a couple things to say about that. And he said that she is not my type. Should I go ahead and ask her out anyway? What? This poor guy. What? That just sounds like she kind of set him up for that.
That was 19, not 9, right?
Yeah, no, he's 19.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Why not? What's there to lose? Mm-hmm. I mean, one... Yeah, I agree with you. At 19, come on, go to her directly. This isn't this isn't middle school at this point. But yeah, what do you have to lose except for a no? I don't see any risk in doing it other than personal embarrassment, but
yeah,
that doesn't hurt.
I mean, it almost sounds like she already saw this coming and basically prepped her brother to be like, could you please just say that I'm not his type or whatever? Because, I mean, you know, again, it just sounds like it's a little sketchy. On that front. But now, what would you say? I mean, so then he asks her out and she says, you know, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, because girls do that too. They can't give a straight answer and they get all weird. I mean, should he, because we've had guys that ask, this is kind of a follow-up question. Should I hang back? Should I ask her again? Should I continue to pursue? Or does that just get a little stalkerish?
Yeah. Well, I deal with singles all the time where they have that, where somebody seems to be a little bit hot or cold or a little bit both, or they're not sure. They think they just need to grow in God, or they just need a little more space to understand who they are. Mm-hmm. And to me, usually, not always, but most of the time, that means the person doesn't want to break the other person's heart. Mm-hmm. They're not interested, but they don't want to say it. And if you're head over heels over someone, if you're afraid someone else might find them, you don't need space. You don't suddenly need time to get together with God, just you and God. Usually it's, please, please, please don't even think about someone else. And so usually it's just people's reticence to be honest and open because they don't want to hurt them. And you've got to catch a clue that, look, what I said to a guy this last week, wouldn't you rather marry somebody who's enthusiastic about being in a relationship with you rather than somebody that has to take 6 months to determine whether they can stomach it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was coming to.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a good segue into our next question, which is from a woman who says, a guy that I've known for about a year from church has started pursuing me for dating. He loves the Lord, is mature, stable, intelligent, humble, and well-respected by our mutual friends. We've been on 4 dates, and I've had a pleasant time. I can find no reason to object to him as a potential suitor. However, I find that I'm a bit bored when I am with him. I realize there's a false expectation set up for excitement and sparks, and those aren't necessarily indicators of a good future relationship, but I've dated 2 other men and actually looked forward to spending time with them. Am I being unreasonable or superficial to expect what I felt from those other 2 dating relationships? Should she continue to date this guy? How long do you give a guy a chance before you have to wait for this stuff to happen?
Look, if you're bored with a person that early on, my guess is you're only going to be more bored as you go on. I don't think boredom is something that's usually cured. Mm-hmm. It usually means on a relational level, something is lacking, and that's a legitimate concern. Marriage is a long relationship, and most of it is that kind of activity. Mm-hmm. You're going on vacation together. You're spending an evening together. You're spending a weekend together. It's not about sparks and romance or even sexual intimacy. That's a part of it, but that's not the bulk of it. And so with all those other things being fine, if she's saying I'm already bored with him, yeah, that would trouble me.
Yeah. And I totally agree. I mean, I tell people, you know, attraction isn't everything, but you got to have it there at some point.
Yes, certainly.
You know? Okay, but what about, how do you discern between whether a person is just generally not a good fit for you and they are just boring versus they're a little bit, they're a great person and probably would make a good match, but they're maybe a little awkward at the get-go? I mean, I've been on dates with guys who ended up being solid guys, but they just only talk about themselves, or they're waxing on about, you know, sci-fi or something. And I'm just like, wow, maybe we need to turn the convo a little bit here. So, I mean, we need clues about that stuff too, I think.
But you obviously didn't marry him.
No. Mm-mm.
So it might have been that you realized there was a shallowness there that you don't want to embrace. And look what I found, Lisa, is I love marriage. I think a good marriage is a wonderful thing to be a part of. But I talk to enough frustrating marriages mm-hmm. that I'm saying, don't get married to not be single. Mm-hmm. Get married because you want to spend your evenings and weekends and vacations with someone for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And so if they don't meet that threshold, look, if a person seems narcissistic now, it's going to get so boring mm-hmm. talking to them at dinner and whatnot. And so I think that's a good enough reason to say, no, this isn't the one for me.
Yeah. Okay. Good thoughts. All right. Now, here's one from a woman. This is a great general question that has a specific slant to it. She wants to know, where is the line between waiting on God and actively pursuing a relationship? And I want you to speak, actually, Gary, to the woman's role in this, because she's saying, particularly as a woman who believes in gender roles, men initiating, should I be simply waiting around for God to bring the right person into my life, or should I make efforts to meet people?
Yeah. Does it give how old she is?
It does not.
Okay.
No.
I think there's biblical advice and there's practical advice. So let me just go with the practical advice. And please, guys, this is not a slam against 20-something guys in total. I'm sure there are many listening, particularly those that would listen to this, probably this doesn't apply. But in general, we are facing a very passive generation of men that have been raised to be that way, who would be suspicious if they were too aggressive. That's almost looked at with more concern than somebody who's overly passive. And so because I live in the real world, when I'm talking to young women, I'm saying, you know, some guys need a nudge. Mm-hmm. They don't have the security. They don't have the initiative to take charge and say, hey, we need to go out or we need to get together. But here's where the balancing act comes in. If you have to be the one that drives all of the energy and all the decision making, then you have to say, do I want to be married to someone that passive? Because if there's an issue with our kids, will they be passive mm-hmm. and not deal? If there's an issue with me, will they be passive and not pursue me? And mm-hmm. so it's sort of this, I think for a woman, particularly that says, I want to be pursued, that's what I think the biblical model is. Food is a great way to meet single guys, and then you invite other friends over. It doesn't have to be four guys and four girls. That can be awkward. You can go, you know, three women and six guys, improve your odds or something. I don't know, but have food. A lot of guys are going to like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you have ways to let a guy know you wouldn't mind having a conversation over coffee. Mm-hmm. Every woman, you know how to do that. The way you look at him, the way you show attention, you're at least giving him a clue. I might not mind you asking me to do something else. And if that's not enough and you feel like you're making a fool out of yourself, then you may realize, well, maybe then he's not a direct enough guy for me. But I don't think she should be ashamed or feel afraid or that there's something biblically wrong with showing an interest. Because look, Ruth... Ruth was very active. You want the Bible. Here's Ruth, who gets herself ready, goes to Boaz, uncovers her feet, lays down in front of him, says, what do you think? Mm-hmm. So you can look at biblical models where you say, I'm not supposed to go forward, but you have other biblical models where women let guys know, hey, I'm open.
Yeah. Follow-up question. How would you apply that to the world of online dating? It's like women are like, should I initiate conversations with a guy? Should I wait and let him click on my profile? What is it okay to at least say I like his profile? I mean, it gets crazy, Gary. There's a lot of particulars.
You know, I've never done that. And I know a lot of people have attacked online
dating. You didn't go
dating.
Last week online and start clicking.
Well,
it. That's
I'm gonna
a good
look
thing.
Really, it's just funny, though, because I do a lot of work with Christian Mingle.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, when Google does your ads and whatnot, mm-hmm. they find out where you go and they give you those ads. Uh-huh. So 50% of the time on my computer, there are ads for 40-plus Christian singles.
Yeah.
I'm really not looking for that.
They just be grateful you're off the market because it's exhausting.
Well, so. It is. And I've heard, and here's the thing. Here's why I'm not against online dating. People said there have been nightmare stories. I could give you nightmare stories of blind dates. I could give you nightmare stories of any kind of dating.
High school sweethearts. Oh, I mean, yeah.
It is tough. Yeah. It's humiliating. It's heartbreaking. It's frustrating. Finding someone to marry is hard work. It's not easy. Everybody has horror stories, regardless of what method you choose. So I think you've got to be wise with online dating, but I don't know that it's any more perilous than others. And I don't think there's biblical direction as far as whether you can click on somebody's profile to send an email or not. I really don't think that displeases. Really, I mean, do you think that's
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that was left out of the original manuscripts, at
least. Yeah. I mean, and so on those things, I don't like to create rules where God doesn't. And obviously, there wasn't the internet and there wasn't online dating at that point. But look, I don't think that's you'll find out whether it's the kind of guy that wants to lead. If you're looking for a spiritual leader, there are other ways to find that out than whether he has to send the email first. Who knows if he's even on there? Maybe he just needs a nudge. And frankly, most of us guys like a nudge and need a nudge. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, here is a question where there is biblical counsel for it. So we need you to kind of parse this one out. Why is it important to date and marry another Christian? Should I only date someone because she says she's a Christian? If not, what other qualities should I look for when dating another believer? And lastly, if I meet someone who's not a Christian but has Christ-like qualities, should I date them?
Yeah.
This person sounds a little confused.
Yeah. So. Well, it's an easier question, I believe. I agree with you on saying that. We only really have one verse, well, two verses that would talk about this. Proverbs 31, talking to men, says of all the things a man should be concerned about, it's a woman who fears the Lord, mm-hmm. which we would call a believer. In New Testament times, it's somebody who is in fear of God, is responding to God, having reverence for God. It's describing a Christian. It says that's more important than her physical appearance. It's more important than her social graces. It's more important than anything else. Speaking to women, you have 1 Corinthians 7:39, when Paul says a woman is free to marry anyone she wishes only in the Lord. So Paul says, you want to marry an introvert, extrovert, business guy, artsy guy, literary guy, your call. Mm-hmm. Just make sure he's in the Lord. So I think there is biblical evidence there that that should be the bottom line, that they profess faith. I don't think that's enough, though. I think you want someone, what I say in the Sacred Search, I think you want someone that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in the Pentecostal or charismatic sense. Not that I'm talking down Pentecostals or charismatics at all. I just mean that you want to see the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You want to see someone who is led by the Spirit. And someone might say, why? And let me just put this. If you're seriously considering dating a non-Christian, what you're saying is this. I think the Holy Spirit is overrated. This notion that we can't change on ourselves, that we actually need God to change within. I don't believe that's true. I think somebody can be a good person on their own, good enough to raise my kids, good enough to keep loving me even though they don't receive God's love, good enough to show me grace when I fail even though they don't receive God's grace. And I think the Bible is overrated. I don't think you need somebody who cares about Scripture to train up my kids. You know, as long as they listen to deep lyrics like, I don't know, Simon and Garfunkel from the 70s, or I don't know who the deep lyrics are of today, they can get the wisdom they need. I think you're completely discounting how desperately we need the Lord. Mm-hmm. And most of the changes, let me talk to just the women here. I speak on marriage for a living. I write on marriage for a living. I would be motivated just out of selfish or commercial interests to be the best husband I could be. And yet 90% of the changes I make in my marriage are because God convicts me in prayer. Hmm. Why wouldn't you want that in your marriage? If your husband is acting up, why wouldn't you want God himself to be speaking into your husband's life saying, you can't treat my daughter that way? If your future husband starts to dip his toes into a sin that will destroy your intimacy and his integrity, why don't you want God himself to be convicting him? I just think it's short-sighted to think that somebody's going to be good enough. I'm not saying some people who aren't believers act more morally than people who are. I get that. I've seen that. But why do you have to make that choice? Mm-hmm. You can find people of integrity filled with the Spirit who are students of God's word. I wouldn't settle for any less.
Okay. So I have another quick follow-up question in that. In light of, you know, specific circumstances where I know that this has played out, you know, among singles that I know, what about if the person that you're dating, especially like say it's a female who's dating a guy and he is very spiritually immature? Like the women, I hear a lot of women who say, you know, well, we talk about spiritual things, but I'm the only one that brings him up, or I'm the one that's always asking him what he's reading, or I want to talk about this, or I'm trying to figure out this. And then he's like, oh, well, okay, maybe I should join a Bible study. Maybe I should. And it's like, is everything by my suggestion, or is, you know, where do you give grace in that? And where do you just say, this is not enough?
Well, I think it's a personal choice. The warning I would give, it seems like we're talking to women more than men here, but I see this in that context more often, where women will be happy with their level of their boyfriend's spirituality and very frustrated when he becomes a husband. And what I would just say to the women there, and I'd say this to the men, putting a piece of metal on somebody's left hand does not make them love God more. If you want a spiritual leader and he's not a spiritual leader before you get married, you're playing Russian roulette, if you remember that old game. It really is a risky thing. If that's not as important to you, then I guess it doesn't matter if you match up in every other way. What frustrates me is when wives will say, the most important thing to me is that he be a spiritual leader, when they married him knowing he wasn't up to their level spiritually. So just be honest with yourself, because you know, Paul says you're free to marry anyone you wish as long as he's in the Lord. He doesn't give you a standard that he has to be an 8 in maturity as opposed to a 4. But if you want an 8 after you're married, make sure he's an 8 before you marry him. Because in my experience, guys are more into God to please their girlfriends who are really into God before they get married than after.
Okay. All right, here's a question about age difference. A guy who, or it's a woman asking it, but she says the guy that's interested in her is actually 4 years younger. He is 19, she's 23. Doesn't have any concerns about his character and personality, but she feels like the age gap is quite large. How does she know, you know, in light of him being in Christ and being a godly leader and of faith? She wants advice on what does that look like? Where do you have to take age into consideration?
Well, here's the thing. I agree that seems like a large age gap if they were getting married. Let's say they date 2 years. He's 21 and she's 25. Does anybody think that seems really weird?
Not too bad.
So I just say, well, look, if you want to pursue the relationship, or you date 3 years, now he's 22 and you're 26, nobody would even think twice about that. So yeah, I agree. It seems a little bit you're in different places, but just take your time then. Put in more time, see how it pans out, and then it's not such a big deal. Because once you get to 30 and 27 or whatever the math comes to, then it's just a complete non-issue.
Okay. This guy says, and this is where we start talking about people's pasts, I'm about to start dating a godly young woman, but I'm unsure of when and how I should tell her about my past sin of looking at pornography. It's a sin the Lord has graciously delivered me from, but the thought of telling her still scares me. Should I tell her before we officially start dating, or should I wait until we've been dating a few months? And what is the best way to go about telling her?
Yeah, well, frankly, that's an issue that probably every boyfriend will have to have in modern times with his girlfriend. I don't think you're under any obligation to tell a woman that as a condition of dating. I really don't. I don't know if you disagree. Certainly, if you think this thing could lead toward marriage, then I think it needs to come up probably prior to engagement. But especially since it sounds like he's had victory for a while, if it's an ongoing struggle, that might be a different thing. But if he got sucked in as a younger man, which many, many do now, and he's found healing, that's not as big a thing. And of course, it depends on how much you've seen, how far you went. I mean, all of those things are factors. But look, get to know each other, start to build a relationship before you ask her to carry all of your junk. You might want to let her see a little bit of your positive qualities and whatnot. So look, I think oversharing earlier on is dangerous in a lot of levels. And it's easy to do sometimes on the first date. And I'll have, we got it all out on the first date. I told her I've been doing this. She's telling, and sometimes it's worked out. I just don't think that's wise when you don't know who somebody is or what they can do with it. But look, I married a couple where they did that on their first date. He had that issue and more, and she had her stuff, and they felt free that, okay, we got that out of the way and we're still interested. I don't know. How many women do you think, let me ask you, that would be a deal breaker if a guy isn't currently watching pornography but had it in his past?
Yeah. I think that's too much for a first date.
Yeah.
I mean, I would definitely say too much for a first date. But I think that there's a way. I mean, again, like you were saying, if this is such a prevalent issue in our culture, my whole thing is why. I don't think it's as shocking as it used to be. I mean, if it's revealed at some point in the relationship, I think that's probably a good thing, especially because if they move towards marriage, to know that he has processes of accountability in place, I think it could be a great example. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my good friends shared his story with porn here on our show. And I think to have the maturity to be able to say, this was my story, it is no longer my story, the grace of God covers all, and here's what I've, and then he walked through, and here's absolutely what I've put in place, and the men I have in my life, and this is where I am, and almost putting it out in the open. I just think doing that on a first date is just too weird. And I think it has the danger, like you said, I mean, it's going to breed, that kind of stuff breeds emotional intimacy that probably isn't appropriate for early levels of dating.
Right.
So I would say, I mean, I think, you know, certainly you're not going to pull the wool over anyone's eyes and be like, so anyway, I don't really struggle with any kind of sin. I mean, that's ridiculous. So then I would have to go into investigative journalist mode and start figuring out what you're not telling me. But yeah, I mean, have fun, get to know this person, figure out if you even want to continue it, you know, for a little while. So anyway, okay, I'm going to give you one more that we're going to finish out with here just quickly. And this is about... let's see. I have a couple left here. I think I'm going to go with this one. And this is a guy who says he's in his early 30s and is a self-employed professional, but it's going to be a while before he's profitable enough to provide for others. He's avoided dating because he's not financially able to support a family. And he says marriage seems far off for him financially. And so he wants to know, he feels bad because he recently turned down a date with a woman. Should he be dating or not?
Well, for starters, how long does he think it's going to take to get married?
I'm a little concerned that he's in his early 30s and still in this position.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I think you got to think that through. But let's even take it back for a younger guy. Let's take it back to like a 25-year-old or whatnot. I mean, this is a day and age, particularly early on, when you usually have two income-earning couples. Mm-hmm. And I'm more concerned that you're being true to God's word, you're being true on things like physical intimacy and whatnot. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. I was dead broke when we got married, and it was, you know, we did okay. We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. So now the downside is I've also talked to couples who got pregnant on their honeymoon, and that does create financial pressures. But boy, I sure wouldn't stop dating someone that could be a good mate because I'm not ready to support a family now. Mm-hmm. That doesn't show much hope in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think it just shows, I don't know, I'm suspicious of that too.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, because we often say here at Boundless that you need to be in a position to marry in order to marry. And so I would say you need to be in a position to marry, but I would recommend that this guy go back and reevaluate what he feels that level of financial security is. Because I'm kind of like, if you're self-employed, you're in your 30s, you know, please consider maybe going into marriage with some of the orange crates or something. I mean, let's not be, you know, be realistic. because again, I think to perpetuate and to protract your singleness for something like this, I think could have ramifications in the future that could be problematic. And this guy is going to get older, and I don't know. It's just a little concerning to me.
If another way of looking at this is, if everything has to be perfect and everything has to be lined up in order for you to start dating to get married, you have to be in control of all of your stuff. Mm-hmm. Every addiction has to be 8 years in the past. You have to have your, you know, 401k and debt. Very few of us would get married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's not to say we should go to the other extreme that somebody had a relapse the weekend before, but I'm just saying we all come into marriage a little bit broken up with work yet to do.
Yeah. All right. Gary Thomas, author of The Sacred Search and friend of The Boundless Show, thanks for weighing in on all these questions.
Oh, thanks. This is a fun format.
That's
glad we did this.
Very
Thank
fun
you.
Thing. We're going to have to do it again sometime.
I'd love to.
Only next time we're going to talk about taxes, where it's all going to be just financial questions and just see how you do. I mean, I'm just joking.
We could do that maybe. In 10 seconds.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Okay, folks, well, that is it for this week's edition of The Boundless Show. Write to us at editor@boundless.org if you want us to address your question or multiple questions like we did on this show in the future. Make sure you're also searching our site for any topics you might want advice on and that you are sharing the show with your friends. And don't forget, this fall, it looks like we're going to radio, so we'll keep you posted on that as well. And that's another great way to continue sharing the show. That's it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.